Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we're going to be talking about a leaked email for Tesla employees ahead of quarter end. We've also got new insurance data out of China, another report on China production. We've got a couple of updates on AI Day, some news on the Inflation Reduction Act and EV tax credit, and a couple other items as well. Kind of a volatile day in the market today. Most of that volatility seemed to come more from James Bullard's comments. He is on the FOMC, the president of the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis, versus Fed Chairman Jerome Powell's comments today. The market tends to not react super positively to his comments in general, but still a strong finish for Tesla, up 2.5% on the day to close at $282.94, while the NASDAQ did end up 0.25% after being up nearly 2% earlier in the morning. All right, we're starting off here with a familiar quarter end story. This is another leaked email from Tesla's management to Tesla employees ahead of the delivery push for quarter end. This story comes from Electrek. Unfortunately, they did not publish the entire email, but they say Tesla management wrote in an email to employees obtained by Electrek that, quote, "We will be delivering a very high volume of vehicles to eagerly waiting customers during the final days of Q3 to help ensure we can delight as many customers as possible. The delivery team is requesting additional support with key delivery execution tasks," end quote. Electrek continues on to say that in the email, Tesla has requested that all employees, even those that are not working in sales or delivery, help with the tasks of delivering vehicles before quarter end. Perhaps also worth noting that, at least as Electrek writes it here, in that email, "a very high volume of vehicles" is in bold. We don't know for sure if that format was in the original email or if Electrek added that. Generally, if you add emphasis, though, you would call that out. So I'll assume that was Tesla's format. Now, these end-of-quarter emails are not unprecedented by any means. We see them a lot of times, I would say probably most quarters. In the past, generally, they've been from Elon. It sounds like this one is not. Different people are going to use different words, so I wouldn't read too much into this, but if Tesla is saying, hey, a very high amount of vehicles, that's going to be relative to what they have done in the past. If this email is for North America or for the United States, a very high amount of vehicles, that's going to be a relative statement to what Tesla has done in that market in the past, which is encouraging because even though we did see Q2 production down significantly, that was worldwide production. That was coming out of Shanghai because of the factory shutdown. But from Tesla's 10Q, last quarter was actually a record quarter in terms of United States revenue at about $9.6 billion. So the delivery push last quarter presumably would have been more significant than any quarter so far to date, at least for the United States. Here, if Tesla is saying, hey, we've got a very high amount of deliveries this quarter, that bodes very well for another record quarter, probably by a decent margin for the United States. So again, just an email, not something we want to overreact to. We don't even know for sure if this is for the United States market. Maybe it's just a subset, some location specifically. But I do think it's a bit of a positive sign for Fremont production and deliveries as we approach quarter end. Of course, this also suggests that there is a bit of a delivery wave here at quarter end, even within the United States. That raises the question of why is Tesla even still doing that? To what end? If that's just to help the stock or maintain some picture for quarterly reports, is that really worth it? Maybe, maybe not. I've talked before about how I don't think Tesla really needs to worry too much about where the stock price is at right now, but quarter ends do provide natural deadlines, and deadlines are a powerful motivator, a good tool for making sure that things are getting done. It allows Tesla to stress test the entire organization. It allows them to find efficiencies and inefficiencies that can then be improved upon going forward. So there can be some benefits aside from just making the quarterly numbers look a little bit better, since we all understand that, yeah, those cars are going to eventually get delivered anyway. As with most things, though, there's a spectrum there where if you do too much of that or you go too far down that path, you could overstress the system. That creates some hardship for employees, potentially. It can create financial inefficiencies from that process. So there is a balance that needs to be struck somewhere. We also need to consider that this isn't necessarily synonymous with unwinding the wave or anything like that, or at least there are layers of that that need to be assessed differently, one of those being the logistics costs. So even if Tesla does still have these quarter-end delivery pushes, because they have more localized production nowadays, those quarter-end pushes are going to be more localized as well, rather than something like trying to shove all of Tesla's worldwide production into some small areas in California with a week left in the quarter. So main point there being that while this email might sound all too familiar from emails of quarters that have long since passed, it's important to recognize that the context nowadays is very different than before. All right, next up, we've got a couple of updates on Tesla in China. First, we've got another week of Tesla-insured vehicles being reported. Moneyball on Twitter sharing this out. It's about 23,100 vehicles for the week of September 19th through September 25th. This is a very welcome rebound from the just below 16,000 number we saw for the week of September 12th. That number had dropped about 2,500 vehicles from the first full week of September. A little bit concerning in terms of the trend, but now in hindsight, it looks like maybe that was impacted perhaps by the typhoon that we had talked about. Maybe even just normal volatility with these numbers. Any number of factors can influence this. But alongside the reduced wait times that we've talked about in China, it was a little bit of a red flag, so nice to see that recover. And then over those 2 weeks combined, you're getting about 19,500 per week versus Tesla's production should be just above 20,000 per week. So right around what you would expect over that two-week time horizon, and perhaps we'll continue to see the last few days here outpace Tesla's expected production rate and entirely make up that small gap that would remain. Of course, for the full week, this will end October 2nd, so by the time we get the next round of insurance numbers, we will already have the total worldwide production and delivery report, but those insurance numbers, when we do get them, will at least give a little bit more context on regional breakdown of those numbers. It's also worth reiterating that insured vehicles doesn't necessarily tie to CPCA reported retail sales, which are domestic sales in China. They're usually pretty close, but there can still be some variance there. Anyway, if we look at the total weeks here in September so far, the total in this table is 72,500, but you do have 3 days in August here that probably were around 5,000 vehicles. So insured units for the month probably sitting somewhere around 67,000 with 5 days left. If that same pace continues that we saw over the last week, that could push September insured units into the 84,000 range, maybe even a bit higher if some of that backloadedness continues. It could be significantly lower though if Tesla did end up shifting a little bit to export, like some of the international VIN assignments that we have seen might suggest. So still a pretty wide range of outcomes for how September shakes out for China specifically, and that will affect the spread between production and deliveries worldwide for Q3, as well as the perception of how strong demand is in China. The other report on Tesla in China today is coming from Reuters with quite the attention-grabbing headline. They say, exclusive Tesla to keep output at upgraded Shanghai plant below maximum per sources. They go on to write that, quote, Tesla plans to hold production at its Shanghai plant at about 93% capacity through the end of the year, despite a recent upgrade, two people with knowledge of the matter said, in a rare move for the US maker of electric vehicles, end quote. Later in the article, they say that Tesla plans to turn out 20,500 units a week for the rest of the year for a total of 13,000 Model Ys and 7,500 Model 3s, the sources said. They say this is below the maximum upgraded capacity of 22,000 per week. Now, in my opinion, this is a pretty clickbaity story. Tesla is never going to operate at full production capacity. There's going to be some downtime. In this case, if we even just look at how the shift schedules are set up for Shanghai, we know that Tesla ends up working 6.5 out of 7 days. 6.5 divided by 7, just to save you some time there, 92.86%. That is suspiciously close to the 93% figure in this article. Also, for what it's worth, my forecast for Shanghai's production from the months of September through end of December, it's within 1% of the figure suggested here by Reuters. So for those that have been paying attention closely, this isn't a surprise. I do think that the number that Reuters has here is pretty close to where Tesla will end up. I think they'll actually push things a little bit further in terms of efficiency as the quarter goes by, but I don't think the way that Reuters represents this here as Tesla somehow operating below capacity for 3 months at a time is necessarily an accurate reflection of the situation, to say the least. All right, next topic here, this is for Australia, but probably relevant to what we just talked about with China and insured units as we get close to the end of the quarter here. The Driven out of Australia is reporting that many Model Y order holders have received updated delivery estimates that range from mid-October to early November. Previously, some of those order holders had estimated delivery ranges of November to February, so moved up by maybe just a couple of weeks in some cases, but in some cases, maybe a number of months. But perhaps more interestingly, they're also reporting that many of these order holders had been advised that their order build date was September 23rd. If that's the case, that would again suggest that perhaps Tesla shifted over from domestic sales in China to exporting vehicles a little bit sooner than they normally would, which, going back to that delivery wave that we talked about at the opening, would suggest a bigger gap between production and deliveries this quarter. I think probably tomorrow or Thursday, I'll go through my final expectations for Q3 production and deliveries. Next, we've got a couple of small updates on AI Day. Dennis Hong is back again. You may remember last year he provided us with a couple of teasers ahead of the AI Day event. He runs the robotics lab at UCLA. Yesterday, he tweeted out what seems to be a promotional image that maybe comes from Tesla. It certainly looks like it's professionally done. Shows the Cybertruck, a few Tesla bots. My hesitation on this being from Tesla is that it does seem to show the older version of the Tesla bot, and seems like we might see some updates there based on the heart-hands invitation image. So, I don't know, we can look at this for maybe some Easter eggs or something like that, but not sure there are really any to be found for that reason. Either way, pretty cool graphic here. And then a couple other things I wanted to discuss based on information coming out from the event invitations. First off here, we can see that the time is listed as 5 p.m. Pacific to 11 p.m. Pacific, so 6 hours. That may seem like a really long time for this event, but remember it's an in-person event. Tesla last year had booths set up for the essentially recruits to go around and learn more about different disciplines within the AI teams. They had demonstrations of the FSD beta. I think they had rides in the Model S Plaid. So that's why the event is likely so long, is to make time for things like that that aren't directly a part of the presentation. So don't expect a 6-hour presentation. On a similar note as that, Warren Redlich shared what seems to be a participation sign-up form as a part of the invite. It says, this may include a demo ride of a Tesla vehicle. The demo ride will exhibit the extraordinary capabilities of the vehicle. I understand the risks that exist in an event like this, including a high-speed demonstration, and I choose to experience the thrill. So I would assume that, again, like last year, rides in the Model S Plaid, rides of FSD beta, I wouldn't really expect anything beyond that. It's easy to get hyped up, but remember, this isn't really a product unveiling if we kind of subtract the Tesla bot from that realm. It is a recruiting-focused event, and even with FSD beta, especially based on last year, I wouldn't expect any secret version or something like that to be demoed. All right, last couple of things here. First, a small update on the Inflation Reduction Act, a report today by the Wall Street Journal on this. They note that the Treasury Department is working on firmer regulatory guidance for the electric vehicle tax credits. They say that industry and advocacy groups say that that could help make the new requirements easier to reach. A lot of the article centers around that viewpoint, but that's just their opinion, so it doesn't really mean a whole lot to us. As far as what the Treasury Department itself is saying, they got a quote from the Deputy Assistant Secretary for Tax Policy, who said that the agency is trying to determine what discretion they have when writing the rules. They're collaborating with the Energy Department, the Environmental Protection Agency, and others to understand things that fall outside their normal expertise. They're working on exactly what constitutes a free trade agreement for this critical mineral requirement. He said, quote, it is a significant challenge, but it is a challenge we are eager to take on because this legislation is something that we've been fighting to get for a generation, end quote. Based on how they're talking about this, to me, it seems likely that we'll probably run right up until the end of the year before we get these firmer guidelines published. Of course, that could happen anytime, but seems like they'll probably use all of their time allotted before that deadline. Lastly, then, we've got a couple of updates from Hertz. First, their CEO commented on the demand for Tesla vehicles in their renting service. They say, quote, demand has been very, very solid. We're seeing demand not just among leisure travelers, but also among corporate travelers, where in fact corporations want their employees in an electric vehicle to satisfy some of their own carbon footprint objectives, end quote. So a good update from Hertz, and that last bit is pretty telling, not just from a corporate renting perspective, but probably also a corporate leasing perspective. I would imagine that most companies that do that sort of thing are looking at that as a good opportunity to improve their green initiatives as well. Also today, Hertz and BP announced a memorandum of understanding for development of a national network of EV charging stations powered by BP's charging brand, BP Pulse. They say the agreement also involves the management of Hertz charging infrastructure by BP Pulse and the customization of its Omega software to ensure Hertz's growing fleet of electric rental cars are recharged quickly and efficiently between rentals. So kind of an interesting partnership to see. It doesn't necessarily say anything about it being exclusive, so Tesla could still work with Hertz for some charging things, but presumably BP would be reducing any of that demand from Hertz's side. All right, that is where we'll leave it for today then. So as always, thank you for listening. Make sure you are subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And we'll see you tomorrow for the Wednesday, September 28th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.